Listening to the truth of the matter here on Success Radio Network. I want to say welcome one to welcome all who have joined us tonight, especially our surrounding city and state and our countries near and far, as well as those who called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one, join the conversation. We'll be glad to hear from you, especially your prayer requests, prayer praises, as we have Dr. Duck Quick again in the house with us again. And Sister Ruth, who do we have in the house with us again tonight?
Well, of course, we have the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Band of Angels. We have you, Sister Emily, George, Brother Quick, and Sister Quick, I'm sure, and Six, and just little old me.
All right.
Welcome, everybody. Six Eyes here. Wouldn't that be, we're fortunate? You said unfortunately. We would be fortunate to have the Son, Father, Holy Ghost, and the Band of Angels. Fortunate, not unfortunate. Amen.
No, I'm just glad they're here and they're always with us every minute, because I've even got proof that an angel actually helped me out of a gulf once. So they were there always.
I understand it, but you said unfortunate, so we're fortunate. Amen.
Amen. All right, Six, we were going to start with you anyway. What do you have for us in the way of prayer requests, prayer praises, buddy?
As always, the world, praying for mankind. My family, keeping us all healthy, keeping us all strong. That's it. Praying for those tap dance lessons to get better and creativity and increase for us all. Amen.
All right. Then we said we had Brother George. So what do you got for us tonight?
Yeah, well, pray for our nation, pray for our leaders, that we would turn back to God, pray for our first responders and firefighters and our leaders, that they would try to do the right thing. And I want to pray for you and I've been praying for you and your wife to get better and have good blessings from the Lord. And just pray for everybody that they would turn to the Lord and they would be a lot more happier. Amen.
Amen. And you said we got Sister Emily with us too, Ruth?
Yeah, and of course we got rather quick, and of course Six already talked.
Okay. Well then, Sister Emily, what do you got for us tonight?
Just my normal, and also be keeping me in prayer the 17th of next month. I finally get to get my bone marrow transplant. So I'm trying to stay as healthy as I can until then.
All right. Anything else?
For our ministry, for our need for our bus. For you, Rue, the entire crew for Six Eyes, for Brother and Sister Quick, and Brother George. And I'm complete.
All right. All right. Anything else?
Nope.
All right. Well, as she said, the crew here at Six Eyes Radio Network for Pastor and Mrs. Barnett, for Sister Nikhail, there was a death in her family, and we need to be praying for them. We need to pray for, of course, Brother Quick and his wife, Brother Tim Groover, and his evangelism work that he's over there in Ireland right now. And he's eventually hoping to go to Scotland, then from there to Israel, where he's called. So we want to pray for that. Of course, for the lost souls in general, we pray for Brother Quick tonight for clarity of thought, clarity of mind, clarity of speech tonight. And, of course, for those working in nursing homes, hospitals, and those residents of both places. And that's pretty much it. So, okay, Brother Quick, if you got any prayer requests of your own, or Sister Quick, and then you could open us in prayer.
All right. Thank you, Brother Ken. And your voice sounds like you've come along a good way here. I was told you were not feeling very good at all, and so we've been praying a whole lot for you and your wife both. And who's that missionary or that evangelist that you talked as on a foreign field? I didn't catch him.
Okay. His name is Timothy Groover, G-R-U-V is victory, E-R, Groover.
Okay, and where's he at?
Right at present, he's in Ireland, but then he's planning to go from there to Scotland, and then from there to Israel.
Yeah,
all
he's
right.
A Messianic Jew. He's Christian and he's Jewish. He was born Jewish, but he's also been saved, so he feels called to witness to the Jewish folks.
Amen. That's good. All right. Miss Quick and I still have a couple of special unspoken requests that have not been answered yet. And last week, I asked for our prayer warriors all around the world to be praying for Miss Quick. And there was such a dramatic change in her that night and also the following morning, And so we just really want to thank everyone around the world that prayed for her. And I'm just going to ask you to just keep right on praying for her. She's coming along a good ways. She's got some different things that she's got to go through yet. But just keep her in prayer and keep me in prayer also, because I've got a whole lot of extra work on me, because she does do some cooking. But sometimes I have to do all the cooking, and I mean, that's just good. I mean, I can eat my cooking really good, and she can too. And so then the laundry and the cleaning of the house and all that stuff, that's usually what she does. But when she doesn't have the strength to do it, I just step in there and take over. And so we're just glad to be with you all again this night, and looking forward to being able to preach the Word of God in just a few moments. If there's no other prayer requests, then I'll pray and ask the Lord's blessing upon the message tonight. But I'll wait just for a moment just to see if there's any other prayer requests. All right. Our Father, thank you so much for this day that you've given to us. Thank you so very much for your hand to be upon Miss Quick and myself, and on Brother Ken and his wife. You've done wonders for them again, and we're just glad for that. And it's always good to hear Brother Six in the background like what he was today. And it's always good to hear his voice and to hear him give out some prayer requests, and we're just glad for that. And we're asking that you'd be with our nation in a special way, because our nation has not just drifted away from you. Our nation has very quickly ran away from you, and we know that. We know the story of the prodigal son, and that's just about how America has treated you, Lord. And we would plead with you for a comeback, for revival to break across this great land of ours one more time. I'm asking now you'd be with George and the request that he gave tonight for the military and for our nation and for Miss Emily, for the first responders. And she'll be getting her bone transplant coming up right directly, and we're glad for that. Just asking for your hand to be upon those surgeons that work on her, and that you just really take good care of her. And then for Brother Tim Gruber, he's in Ireland, fixing to go to Scotland, and then back to Israel again. And Lord, we're just pleading with you that you just meet every need that he's got, and just touch him in a special way, and just minister unto him as well as through him. And well, sure enough, thank you for that. And I will plead with you, you do the same thing for me this night, because I must have you to help me. I can be nothing more than just your mouthpiece. That's it. I don't want to be anything more than that, that's for sure. You have helped me for 49 years, and I'm just really depending upon your hand upon me. I'm just going to keep right on going as long as what I can. But tonight I'm asking now you just be with us. I would plead with you that you would touch the hearts of each one that's hearing my voice this night, that you would minister unto each heart. You know the needs of every heart, and I would plead with you that you just meet each of those needs according to your own sweet and wonderful will. Now be with us this night in a very special way, and we'll thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, and last week I started a series of messages entitled Some Folks Who Did Not Consider. I want to continue on with that thought this night and get just a little bit closer home with our thoughts on this. Some people who did not consider their ways. If you've got a Bible, I would ask that you would turn to the book of Genesis, that very first book in our Bible, Genesis chapter number 2 to begin with. And I'm just really interested in each one of us to understand exactly what took place at the very beginning of everything. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 31, listen to this. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. That's the creation in Genesis chapter number 1, where God saw everything that he had made, and it was very good. Now, you see, before we can go very far, I want to just touch on some things in chapter number 2, and then I want to get into chapter number 3 tonight. Chapter number 2 gives us some very important facts concerning what's going on even yet this day. In chapter 2, we are laying aside the fact of the creation of Genesis chapter number 1, and now we are seeing the predominant purpose of this book, the record of human life as man begins to live before God himself. In chapter number 1, man was brought out at the end of creation as the crown of creation. In chapter number 2, man has graduated to the beginning point of human history. Chapter 2 prepares every reader for what takes place in chapter number 3. But here in chapter number 2, verse number 8, we're going to find where God is going to put Adam in a garden that God has already planted, and he's going to put Adam in that garden. Verse number 8 says, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Now, God is going to bring all of this creation back around, and Adam is going to give a name to every bit of it. Isn't that amazing how one man could have a name for everything that God has created? Adam did. Adam was able to do that. But you see, then we find that God is going to give Adam some orders here in this garden. In verse number 15, listen to this. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. There it is, ladies and gentlemen. God is a God of order, and God is a God that does everything out of order, and he has put man in this garden to dress it and to keep it. Now remember, at this point in history, there's no such thing known as a weed. There's no such thing known as moss that grows in the wrong place and all that kind of thing. Nothing like that is in wrong at all, because everything, remember verse 31 of chapter number 1, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. No weeds. No such thing. Everything is beautiful like you and I cannot even begin to imagine in this world in which we're living today. But you see, in chapter number 2, man has graduated to the beginning point of human history. Now, in chapter number 2, God has put him in this garden in verse number 8, and we find in verse number 15, where God has given him orders. He is to dress and to keep that garden. He's to make sure everything grows perfectly just like it's supposed to. Amen and amen. Then you see, to prove that God had given man special directions, look at verse number 16 and verse number 17. Read this along with me. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but, verse number 17 begins with but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. What about that? That's a order from God. You're not even supposed to even so much as look at that tree, because if you should happen to eat of that tree, you're going to die. That's all there is to it. There ain't no question about it. And so now we're going to get into chapter number, first I want to look at verse 1 of chapter number 2. I want to look at one other thought here before we move on. Thus the heavens and the earth were created, and all the host of them. The host of them, we're going to find here that this will include all of the angels. You see, every angel was created by God himself. Amen and amen. And every angel was created by God. It's proof right there. In Psalm chapter 33 and verse number 6, listen to this verse of scripture. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. And there's that word host again. And the word host there gives us that meaning that there were angels that were created by God himself. Amen and amen. You see, I have no answer at all as far as when Lucifer sinned. God doesn't tell us that. Nowhere in the Word of God does God tell us when it was that Lucifer sinned. But when we come to chapter number 3, we're going to find Lucifer has taken the position of the serpent. Verse number 1. Listen to this. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he's going to carry on a conversation with Eve. Now listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. Adam is right here all along this, every word that's said here by the serpent and by Eve. Adam is right here. He hears every word that's said. And I'll bring that out and prove it to you in just a few moments. But you see, here in verse number 1, listen to what this serpent does. He comes to Eve, and he says, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Oh, listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. I need to call your attention to this right now. The serpent, the devil, is changing everything that God has done. Oh, God didn't say that. Verse number 2, listen. Eve is going to correct him. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now listen to the serpent. He's got an answer back to Eve. Verse number 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Have you picked it up yet, ladies and gentlemen? What the serpent said to Eve in verse number 1, a word that God never said. God never said what the serpent said to Eve. Listen to what he says. Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of the tree of the garden. God didn't say that. And then verse number 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. God didn't say that. God said they could eat of every tree they wanted that was in the garden except for one. But they could eat of any other tree. But in verse number 4, God said, you eat of that tree and you shall surely die. But the serpent says, oh, you shall not surely die. Isn't that amazing? That just amazes me. How it is that Adam can be right close by, and he's hearing the serpent change what the Lord God has laid out for him to understand. The serpent is changing it, but he's not saying a word. Isn't that amazing? It just amazes me. Well, listen to this. I said I was going to prove to you that Adam was right here and heard every word that was being said. But you see, I'm going to get to that verse of scripture here in just a moment. Eve and Adam being present, I will certainly show that in a moment. Both of them are there. Both of them are hearing every word that's said. But the serpent is only speaking to Eve. Well, Peter gives us a little outline on this. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 7. Listen to this. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. Talking about the wives. Giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being lords together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. You see, we husbands have got responsibilities with our wives. Amen. But our wives are told, we're told right here in the book of 1 Peter, we're told already that our wife is the weaker vessel. She's not as strong as what we are, men. Amen. Amen. Adam made the choice that all of mankind is still paying for yet this day. He's hearing every word that the serpent is saying, precisely how he's changing what God said and what God didn't say. Listen to, look at verse number 5. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. That's what the serpent said to Eve. Look at verse number 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And all of a sudden, both of them realized they had died. Spiritually, they're dead. There's been a big time change that's come over them. They're the only human beings on the face of the earth, and yet they're going to take leaves sewn together, make aprons out of them to cover their nakedness. Why did they even want to cover their nakedness? They were the only human beings on the face of this earth. Isn't that amazing? That sounds so much different than what takes place in our world today. Amen. And amen, because today men and women are so busy taking off all of their clothes, as many of their clothes as what they can get off before they get out in public. Amen. But Adam and Eve were the only two human beings on this earth, and they had to cover their nakedness. Well, their nakedness is another word for their sin. Amen. You see, the serpent said, "Ye shall not surely die." Adam heard that. Adam had heard what God had said. God had said, you can eat of any tree you want, but this tree in the middle of the garden, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, no, you cannot eat that, because when you eat it, you're surely going to die. Isn't that amazing? Look back here at verse number 6 one more time. And the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. And she took of the fruit thereof and did eat. Adam hasn't eaten anything yet. You see that? Adam hasn't eaten anything yet. She did eat. Then after she ate, then she gave to her husband with her, and then he also ate. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they both knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together in order to make themselves aprons. Isn't that amazing? It looks to me like Adam let Eve take the first bite. And then when she took the first bite, she smiled at him and she gave to him. And he thought, well, sure enough, we're not going to die on this, because she sure didn't die. But as soon as he had a bite of that, all of a sudden, both of them, they knew something bad, wrong had happened. And they had to cover their wickedness, their nakedness. They had to cover it. Why did they have to cover it? Well, I think God is a God of habit. And they must have known that it was about time for God to come and visit them and walk with them in the cool of the evening and talk with them and fellowship with them in the garden. Because you see, verse number 8, verse number 7, they took fig leaves and covered over their nakedness to make themselves aprons. And then they heard the voice of the Lord God walking. What in the world do you think he was saying? How great thou art. Oh God, how great thou art. I'm going to have sweet fellowship. But then he couldn't find Adam. So he says, Adam, where art thou? He only had to call him one time. Adam must have known. He sure enough wasn't a good person to try and hide from God, because God probably stopped right in front of him. Adam, where art thou? And he said, well, Lord, I'm right here. And God saw what they were doing. Verse number 10, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told you that you're naked? Hello. Adam says, it's that woman you gave me, Lord. That's basically what Adam said. Amen. You can read this. Look at verse number 12. And the man said, the woman that thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. That's where that saying, the woman made me do it. That's where that saying comes from. Amen. That's exactly what Adam said. That woman you gave me, Lord, she made me do it. She made me do it. Well, listen to me. Don't you see? All of a sudden, there is a mess all over the place. Not only did Adam and Eve die, all of God's creation died right along with them. Amen and amen. I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, things went really bad. Because when man sinned, all of God's creation died right along with them. I don't want to take the time to read the scripture to you right now, but there is scripture to back that up. So how can we go about when we all know that the damage is done? Question, don't you think? The damage has been done. Every human being that is born since Adam and Eve is born with that old Adamic nature a part of them. That's why Jesus came and was virgin born, so that he didn't get that same Adamic nature, that sin nature. Human being that's ever been born gets that sin nature. We inherit that from Adam. Amen. So what do we do now? Things have already been messed up. What are we going to do about that? Well, husbands, excuse me, listen to me now. Husbands, it's up to you and up to me to keep our wives under control. Amen. I didn't say you got to rule with a rod of iron and all that kind of... No. I didn't say that at all. I just said you and I have got things that we're going to have to put under control. And the best thing that we can do is put our wife in submission under us. Because you and I, as a child of God, have got to be submitted unto God. We cannot be subjected unto God. We've tried that subjection way too long, and subjection doesn't work. But submission, being submitted unto God, that does work, because that's where the hand of blessing comes in, when we're submitted unto God. And that's exactly what a wife needs to do unto her husband. She needs to be submitted unto her husband. You see, Ephesians chapter 5 tells us this: for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Nobody else can become the head of the church. I've known many a pastor that thought they was going to become head of the church. I've known them, but no man can become head of the church. Christ is the head of the church. Amen. But we husbands, we have a wife that is to be under submission unto us, and that means that they're going to be under control. That doesn't mean we're going to rule them with a rod of iron. No. Don't have to do that at all. My wife and I have been married 56 years. It'll be 57 years, October the 8th. That's not all that far away. Amen. And we'll be married 57 years. How in the world did we make it this long? Both of us realized right off the very beginning that we had to become submitted unto the Lord, because the Lord had to be the ruling factor in this marriage. 56 years, we're still going strong. Amen. Because we both learned the importance of being submitted unto God. And when we become submitted unto God, my wife took up being submitted unto me. No, that doesn't mean that I rule over her. No. It just means that she knows when she can say, get up, let's go. Or she knows, you better just be quiet and let me say, well, let's get up and go. Amen. She's sitting right here, and she hasn't hauled off and hit me with a baseball bat, and I don't see the frying pan anywhere around either. Amen. You see what I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen? I'm saying that that's what it takes for a marriage to take place and have where it's going to work. They're going to work real good. It takes submission unto the Lord, and then the wife becomes submitted unto the husband like the husband is submitted unto the Lord. Well, listen to me. It's up to you, wife, to control yourself regarding what you may think. You see, wives, are to submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. By the way, that's in the Word of God. That's not something I made up. That's something that God put in there. Ephesians chapter 5, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Amen. Wives, your submission unto your own husbands works the very same as your submission unto the Lord. Amen and amen on that. You see, we certainly cannot correct the wrong that Eve did some 6,000 years ago. We can't correct that. There is no correction to that. That's all there is to that. You see, the devil proved to all humanity more than 6,000 years ago that he was and he still is the father of all lies and all liars. Amen. John chapter 8 says these words. Listen to me now. Ye are the father of your father the devil. Jesus was talking to the scribes and the Pharisees. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Amen. That's what Jesus said about the devil. That's right. Jesus, when Jesus came, he proved to all humanity that he speaks the truth, all truth, and nothing but the truth. You know, the Father showed up, and he gave us some truth concerning the Son. Listen to this, John chapter 3 and verse 16. Listen to these words. These are the words from the Lord God himself, the Father. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Listen to verse 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now, let me give you some words from the Lord Jesus himself. John chapter 10, verse 27 and verse 28. My sheep hear my voice. This is the very words of the Lord Jesus. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. You see, Jesus speaks nothing but truth. Truth, he begins with truth. He keeps on with truth. He remains truth. That's all that Jesus can speak is truth. Amen and amen. Well, listen, I'm here to plead with you all. Yea, I'm here to beg with you this night. Consider where it is that you're headed for forever. Listen to me now. I know that not everybody is listening to me, knows the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior. I know that for a fact. Consider that if it's impossible for you to save your own soul, you can't do it. Jesus has already paid your sin debt in full. He paid it in full, ladies and gentlemen. It's paid for. No one alive hearing my voice has full assurance that they will even be here 2 hours from right now, let alone one day from here. There is no way that none of us can have any kind of assurance like that at all. None of us can do that. None of us can do that. We don't have that kind of control over ourselves. You see, we're living here, and we're going to live until our heart beats the last beat, and then we're going to be off in eternity. I would plead with you, though, if you don't know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I would plead with you. Please listen to me. Consider your ways. Consider your soul. consider that Jesus has paid your sin debt in full. There is no reason why you should die and go to hell, because I'm here to preach to you and tell you that your sin debt has been paid in full, but you've got to do something about that. You've got to do something about that. You've got to trust the Lord. You've got to repent of your sin. None of us can repent of every sin, but when it comes time for you to trust Christ to save your soul, you need to repent of your sin the best you can. And then when you think you've about got it covered, then you trust Christ to save your soul. And I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, before you get up off your knees, you're going to know that Jesus has moved in. The Spirit of God will have moved in, and you're going to know that. Everyone hear my voice tonight. It's important for you to understand you've got a responsibility before yourself and before God. God sent his only begotten Son, who died on Calvary's tree some 2,000 years ago. He died there to pay your sin debt, my sin debt, every conceived person's sin debt. He died to pay our sin debt. There's no reason for anybody to drop off into hell when you've heard this kind of preaching. You need to stop. Listen to me. You need to stop. You need to consider your ways right now. You need to consider your ways. You're bound for eternity. Everyone hear my voice. You are bound for eternity. It's up to you. It's your responsibility to know where you're going to spend that eternity. You could spend it at the feet of the Lord Jesus forever and ever and ever, or you could spend it in hell, knowing every instant that you're in hell, and you'll be in hell forever and forever and forever, knowing that Jesus paid your sin debt in full, and you could have been in heaven if you just would have listened to the preacher. Amen. Oh, listen. Consider your ways. Consider Jesus. Consider your ways now. Well, you know, some of us haven't got children at the house yet. You got a responsibility before them. Proverbs chapter 22 tells us this. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will depart. When he is old, he will not depart from it. That's a responsibility. Every mama, every daddy has got that responsibility. You see that word old there? That word old there carries a big time meaning. Train up a child in the way he should go. That's in reference to mama and daddy's training, molding that child, training that child, teaching that child. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. What the word old means there is when he grows up, when he matures, he'll not leave what his mom and daddy taught him. Amen and amen. You see, my wife and I have got three boys. All three of them are raised up. All three of them got their own families. All three of them are working for a living. But all three of them have got a responsibility to come Sunday. They don't have to hear mom and daddy say, hey, listen, it's time to go to church. It's Sunday. You need to be at church. We trained them that way. Now they're out on their own, and they've married their own wife. They got their own families. And now those that have got children, they're raising their own children that same way. You raise them according to the way you want them to go. And that's exactly how they'll go. When they mature, they'll always remember what you've taught them. Amen. You see, that's how it is. Adam and Eve had ways that they were supposed to pay attention to. And when the serpent came and just started talking to Eve, Adam should have stepped up right now. He should have stepped up right now, just like I do to this day. I've had different ones to call my wife on the phone. They're wanting to sell them something. Wanting to sell her something. Wanting to get money out of her. And I'll take the phone back and I'll say, excuse me, I'm her husband. You need to talk to me about getting money out of me. But seeing how you want to talk to my wife only, ain't no money coming your way. No way. We don't do it that way. We don't do it that way. Amen. We just don't do it that way. And to this day, we still don't do it that way. Amen. You see, that's how it has to be. That's exactly how it has to be. I've had preachers that have wanted to just quit my wife. And I've just stayed right there. You say, don't you trust him? It's not the fact that I don't trust people. It's the fact that I have a responsibility. And no man is going to take and get my wife off, just the two of them, by themselves. No, they're not going to do that. Because my wife is my wife. She's been my wife for 56 years. She's been faithful to me for 56 years. She's still by my side. After 56 years, she's still here. She's still sitting right here alongside of me. She's still right here by my side. She still loves me. Amen. Amen. And I still love her. And that's how it's got to be. Consider your ways tonight. Consider your ways and make sure of where you're going to spend forever, because forever is coming for every person that's heard me say a word tonight. Forever is coming for you. And it's up to you to prepare yourself in order to cross over and know that you're going to be with the Lord Jesus forever and forever, forever. Our Father, thank you for these words tonight that you've given me. Thank you for those that have heard me. They've listened to every word. I would plead with you that you just minister unto each heart this night. And Lord, for those that heard me this night, they know they got to consider their ways. They know that. I would plead with you this night that they would stop, they would consider their ways, that they would bow their hearts before you, they would trust Christ to save their soul, and you would change the way they're living, that's for sure. So just be with us in a special way and help us in all that we do. And we'll thank you now. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Ken?
All right, Brother Quick, you want to give your snail mail information?
I'm sorry. There's times when I get sidetracked because I know I got a message I got to preach, and the Lord's got to help me. And there are times when I just get sidetracked and I forget all about that. So thank you, Brother Ken. My snail mail address is 1122, that's called 1122 Church Street. And we live here in Waycross, Georgia. And Waycross is spelled capital Waycross, just one word, Georgia. Our zip code is 31501. And we'll be glad to hear from anybody and from everyone. Glad to be able to hear from everybody. And thank you, Brother Ken, for just bringing that back to my attention again. 1122 Church Street, that's Waycross, Georgia, 31501. And we've just been blessed to live right here in the good old United States of America. Thank you, Brother Ken.
No problem, Brother Quick. Hey, when you get to preaching sometimes, just like me, I kind of get so caught up in the message that I may forget things at the end there, so don't worry about it. And if anybody wishes to contact him via email, they could use my email, feelintouchking@gmail.com. That's F-E-E-L, letter N, like Nancy, T-O-U-C-H-K-I-N-G, @gmail.com. Just in the subject line, just put question or comment for Brother Quick. Type out your message. We will then print that off, send it to Brother Quick, and then when he responds, we will turn that into a PDF and send it back to you, to Brother Quick, to you after Brother Quick has responded. And, of course, then you'll have his response. And then if you need to continue any correspondence, we'll continue in that fashion. And, of course, if you have any interest in getting this program or any other program here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, there are several options for you. You can, if you have a smartphone or tablet, just go to the podcast section and enter Six Eyes Radio. If you have an Android or Apple device, you'll need to first download the iHeartRadio app, Then when you've got that, you enter Six Eyes Radio in the search box. Once you've done that in either case, then after you've clicked enter, then you just click, when it pops up there, you click subscribe. And once you click subscribe, you'll have us on either your smartphone or tablet and or Android or Apple device. And you'll be able to enjoy 7 days a week. And, yes, you can listen to Brother Quick, yep, even on a Saturday or a Monday, whatever the case may be. You could be in your jammies at midnight and listening to Brother Quick or enjoying him with a cup of coffee in the morning. Doesn't that sound great? Also, if you wish to give a donation here to the Six Eyes Radio Network, remember, it does cost us funds to keep great programming like this on the air, but for you, dear listener, it don't cost a thing to listen, but we would appreciate a love gift from you, and there are several options. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to PayPal and enter the email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, @gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, @gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, just go to Cash App, enter $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4. Again, $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4. And in both cases, you enter the amount of your love gift. And we here, the Six Eyes Radio Network, thank you very, very much. And God will richly bless you. You also can send a check or money order. If you wish to do that, just contact Brother Six at his email address, 6i6@gmail.com. In the subject line, just put donation information requested, and in the body of your email, just indicate you're wishing to send a check or money order to the Six Eyes Radio Network and need the pay to and snail mail information to do so. Amen. All right, Sister Ruth, who do we got here at the end of the program that might wish to have any comments, takeaways, or just maybe prayer requests that they may not have gotten in at the beginning?
Well, we got crowded out. I mean, this is nice. We got the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, band of angels, a crowd of angels up there with them all. And we got Sister Emily, George, Brother Quick, Brother Six, Nicole, and Pastor Bonnet. But I'm having trouble with his mic. Maybe Nicole's around. She might help.
Okay, well, just keep working at it, Ruth. Okay? Pastor Bonnet, we'll get your mic there shortly. But Nicole, what do you got for in the way of prayer requests, prayer praises, or what have you, or comments for the show here?
Well, praise the Lord. So glad to be here. Just glad to be able to learn and be with you all together as we praise God for all he is doing in our lives and those whom we have not even come to meet yet. Let's see. I just want to say to you, Dr. Quick, just God bless you. God bless you, First Lady Quick, and all the ministers, all of you, for just helping us and making it plain to all of us the importance of the time that we have and what we need to be doing with it, amen, what really matters most. And so every day of the week, that could be found here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, which is a blessing, and I'm glad to be a part of it. Bible, basic instructions before leaving Earth. My takeaway is you said, Dr. Quick, you said that you have three sons, and you mentioned the Proverbs 22 and 6 to raise a child in the way that he should go. And when he is old, he should not depart from it. Pardon my slight paraphrase. But in that, home training, praise the Lord. The Bible is about home training. It's about home training and everything. And you, I heard you plead that we take heed to this and understand that even right now, though we are not children per se, some of us didn't have home training. And you're saying it's still available to you because God, I want to say in Psalms, I'm in the midst of wisdom, so y'all correct me where I'm at, but it's in Psalms about God loving the orphan. He's a father to the fatherless is how the verse begins. And home training, if you weren't able to get the instructions that you needed as a physical child, your spiritual child is what drives everything. And with that, there's still hope for all of us, amen. So don't let me say too many more words. Praise the Lord. And please continue in the good work of the Lord because it's the foundational work. Everything branches off from that. Bless you for setting the order in everyone's household. Thus saith the Lord, the man is the head of his household. And that's why it's easy for his helpmeet and his children to follow him because naturally, if he is following God, all those things are set in order. But we train a child in the way he should go, because we know, as we all have experienced, we don't make all the right decisions always. But when we are older, we know what we know. We just can't turn away from it without just saying, hey, we're just going to give up on everything. Thank God. Thank you all for not giving up. Bless those who are hearing this message. Please share it. And I should be quiet. Amen.
Thank you, Nicole.
Did we get Pastor Bonnet on here?
Yeah, I think Nikhil helped me, and she's a sweetheart. I don't see her now, but she was on for a little bit,
Amen.
But she did help get it on, I think.
Okay, Pastor Bonnet, what do you got for us tonight?
I just want to say amen to the young sister that was just encouraged by the words of Dr. Quick. Dr. Quick, always a very good dissertation of the word. I appreciate how you elaborated on a lot of things. I've taught this subject on numerous occasions and dug into it very deep. A good friend of mine used this phrase, a pastor friend of mine. He said, consider what I say and let the Lord give the understanding. That means allow the Holy Spirit to reveal. Because as we study the Word of God, all of our answers that we can search for that we need to grow and develop and help others, we can find it in the Word of God. We know that Satan was cast out of heaven. The scripture even said over in Luke, we'll see Luke 10:18, I believe it is. Where he said, I beheld Satan as lightning falling from heaven. In other words, when Satan rebelled, the very moment when he rebelled, God kicked him out of heaven, and he fell from heaven to earth like lightning. And so if we look at the Genesis narrative, at the beginning of creation, we'll see there in Genesis, it says, as we look at Genesis there, that Genesis 1:1, we'll see in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void. And here's this word. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. Many theologians believe it was in this verse here where Satan had fallen because God is a God of light. And in him there's no darkness or shadow. And so, and darkness being upon the face of the deep would have been the planet itself. And so Satan was cast down. So many believe that, and I'm prone to believe it myself, And being cast out and being jealous because God created a lesser being and gave him dominancy. And Satan had no power on this earth to do anything, because in order to have any power to make any difference in this world, you need a body. And so man was created with a body. God gave him a body and gave him dominion. And oh, it's a shame that Adam sat right there and watched his wife disobey God by listening to a lie. They was already like God. But they had been in that garden we don't know how long, for many days. And so, of course, she saw the fruit. Of course, she saw the tree. But it was not desirable to her until somebody said something. And that's the way temptation works. A lot of times it ain't on our periphery. It's not in our mind. And we'll walk right by it. Then it takes that one person. Come on, say, well, what do you think about this? Well, shouldn't this be that? Think it's do no harm. And all of a sudden they start putting questions and doubt. So I know seeds of doubt and discord. And that's what old Lucifer did. He used his influence. And he influenced her to take a deeper look at what was there. They'd been there all along. And like you said, her husband sitting right there or standing right there, didn't say a word. He watched her violate God's word. He sat there and did not do a thing. And that's why a lot of times in relationships are so hard today, because you will sit there instead of being the leader that God made you as a man over your household. You'll sit there and let that woman dictate to you what you know that's wrong. And then when your house is in chaos, you want the whole church to pray for you. But that's a message all by itself. I'm going to leave it alone. But if he would have stood up, and not only did he not say anything, but then he lied and then accused God. He lied, said, I hid from you because I was naked. Well, you already have sold fig leaves. You ain't naked no more. You should have showed up. But shame was all on you. You can't cover shame with anything. And then he just threw her under the bus and blamed God for it. The woman you gave me, Lord, she gave me. In other words, he was saying, God, it's your fault. Mm-hmm. Sad, very sad, very sad. Shame on Adam to not own it up to his own word, wrong. And that's what our problem is today in this society, in our world. We won't own up to our sin. That's why I like the word of God that says, if you will confess your faults one to another. Confession. Confess your fault. Own up to your wrongdoing. He that is faithful will forgive. That's just that simple. So hearing a gospel word like what you preached on tonight, there should be no reason why anybody go to hell. All they have to do is believe and receive that free gift for the atonement of their sin. So, thank you, Dr. Quick. Excellent word.
Amen. Amen. All right, Brother Six, what do you got for us? I think he is missing his coffee. All right. Well, while he's getting his coffee, Emily, what do you got for us?
It was a good message. I'm just going to ask everybody to be praying for me because I just got slammed with one really bad headache during the show.
Okay.
So, Brother Six, are you still there? You get your coffee yet? Any questions or comments?
Probably practicing his tap.
Is he, Ruth, is he still on the board?
I actually thought he was here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was right there on the board the whole time, and I haven't been back in there because I took a break for a minute, and I came back. I'm going back in.
Okay, go look. Well, while we're waiting to see what he, he's there or what have you. Brother Quick, I was just going to mention, you were talking about Adam when he was naming the animals when God
great
gave him
message.
That. There you are, Six.
Yes, great message over. Yes, great message overall. Everybody go back and download and share the great message. Hello to everybody. Pastor Bonnet, hello. Great message tonight. Yes.
Thank you, Brother Six.
Yes, sir. Great message.
All right. Well, as I was saying there, when Six finally got in there, you were talking about Adam naming all the animals. I always, every time I read that text, I always picture Adam sitting around there and God bringing the animals by and God saying, okay, what you going to call this one? He goes, well, I think I'll call that a giraffe. And God says, why you want to call that a giraffe? Well, that's the closest thing I see to a giraffe around here, you know. I kind of pictured that in my own head.
Oh, my soul.
Amen.
So,
you know,
amen. So amazing
amen.
About that is there's no way you can look at an elephant and think tiger.
Amen.
So he
and don't forget your Adam's house cat, darling.
Yeah, and the thing is, Adam, he didn't have a house, let alone a house cat. So that's what's interesting there, too. Amen.
Still a cat, though. Still a cat.
Here is the thing, though. When things got said and done, Eve ate Adam out of house and home.
Oh, you got to do the hip version of Adam and Eve, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, there is a hip version to that, Brother Quick. I'll have to tell you in a later time, okay?
All right.
All right, so does anybody else have any questions or comments left before Brother Quick gives us a closing prayer? Oh, there you are. You're still there, Brother George. What do you got?
Yeah, you forgot me. Well, I just wanted to tell them that what a good message you had. And then I want everybody to get to seeing in your heart, never falter, never fear, for the Lord is always near. Amen.
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 I like it. Amen.
Thank you.
Wonderful message, and I thank the Lord for it, too. I really enjoyed that, and I've listened to that kind of sermon for years, and that is beautiful. It's just wonderful.
All right. Any last comments from anybody? All right.
Well, keep up the good work, Dr. Quick. Don't stop until the Lord call you home.
Amen, brother.
Amen. Just keep on keeping on. Amen.
Right.
Just look, you can only do the assignment that He gave you, and listen, you can be encouraged because Abram was 75 when God gave him a new assignment. He was 99 when he fulfilled some things. I don't know how old you is, but I don't think you're 99 just quite yet. So keep on marching, brother. Keep on marching.
When you do that,
God believe you're going to be all right.
Amen.
That's why I don't agree with the little saying. They say you can't teach an old dog new tricks. I say, well, give him a better master then, because that master just don't understand.
Yeah.
You can be. our master is Jesus. He can teach us. He can teach us anytime, anything. That's why he gave us the Holy Spirit, so we can constantly learn and grow and develop.
That's it.
And by the way, I wasn't calling you old, you know. You're just older than me. I wasn't calling you old. Because you very well may be just as young as you want to be. You probably get around real good.
Oh, my
God. I know. Amen. Quick, we just waiting on you to bless us.
Well, we can say a prayer for all this craziness going on with these school shootings going on. Today, a 6-year-old was playing basketball with her father. The basketball rolled into the next neighbor's yard. The guy shot the father, and the fragments of the bullet hit the 6-year-old. Now, if you can't play basketball and have a ball roll into the driveway without getting it rolled back to you, without getting shot, that just doesn't make any sense. I mean, it's been people can't pull into a driveway without getting shot. It's just too many things going on. And a 16-year-old got shot because he went to the wrong address. It was the right address, but it was the wrong street. So this situations like that is going on.
Right. Yeah, they. That's some we're thankful that the boy is pulling through.
Yeah,
he was shot in the head. Heard it for some of the things about it this morning. Because the gentleman, his arraignment was the hard part is this fellow didn't even go to jail.
Yeah, 84 years up.
It doesn't matter. He's 84 years young. You can sit there and point your gun and shoot someone that's unarmed. It's one thing if somebody come into your home. You have every right to protect your life, period. There's nothing else to add to that. If somebody violate and break into your home and you're there, you don't know if they're going to do any harm to you. You have every right, if you own a gun or any other type of weapon, to use it to safeguard you and your family, period. But for a kid to stand at the door that's locked, looking to pick up, because he was going to pick up someone, I think it was a younger sister, he went to the wrong address. And you see if a young child that's unarmed, dress well. Tell them, hey, you got the wrong address. Close the door. Then if something else happened, then you have every right. But nothing else happened, even by your own testimony. So therefore, you know, we're living in the last days. When you pay attention to some of the Bible prophecies that Ruth be reading to us, these days, the Bible talks about perilous times. But we're in a time when a whole lot of stuff is going on. With all these trying to promote gay rights, transgender rights, all of this, I believe every person that's alive have a right to pursue life and to live. But you don't have a right to force. If you don't want me, the Christian, coming forcing Jesus on you, then you can't force your false belief on me. And they're working a standard trying to go against every Christian. They're not going against the Muslims like that. They're not going against the Europeans that way. They're simply directly attacking Christianity simply because Christianity says this is an abomination, no ands and buts about it. And I hear even preachers try to say, well, everything is under grace. No, if you don't change, you ain't under grace.
That's it.
If you can be in Christ, he's a new creature. If you the same old, Lord help the day. If you the same old stubborn sinner, then you ain't, he's not in your heart, then you not here.
Right.
He said, by this shall men know that you're my disciples. The word disciple means a disciplined student. And if you're not disciplined, mm-hmm. if you're not studying, then you're not his. You know, I know my children of mine because when I ain't got to check their DNA, they look like me. They talk like me. They walk like me. Even when they do stuff that I don't like, I'm like, man, I think I used to do that before Christ. Lord have mercy.
Amen.
And so you don't even resemble Christ. And we got to stop. Just because everybody say something nice don't mean they Christ. The devil know how to talk nice. We just heard a whole lesson on him talking nice. He smooth talk Eve. He the
pastor.
First player. He the first player. He smooth. He eased up on Eve and her husband was right there. I'm sorry. Let me hush. Woo. I'm like Dr. Quick, man. You see something going wrong, pick up the phone. Hey. No, that ain't happening here. Bye. Click. I'm with him on that. I'm with him, brother, on that. Don't let nobody smooth talking talk your woman right there. Come on, please. Lord help the day. But anyway, Brother Six, so our job is to keep praying. Here's the message that Christ told us. Pray to the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into the vineyard. Why? Because the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. People need to see genuine Christians. Not Christians looking like them, but Christians looking like Christ. Because that's what the word means.
That's right.
All right. Any more comments before Brother Quick gives us our closing prayer tonight?
Yeah, we got to make a stand for Christ because I think he's coming soon. I don't know the day or the hour, but just getting excited about it.
Amen.
All right, Brother well, Quick, it's yours.
All right, let's pray. Our Father, thank you for this time that you've given for us to be together. Thank you for Brother Six and for him making this a possibility for us to be on the air like this. Thank you for Brother Bonnet and for the remarks that he's made. And for Miss Nicole and for all these other ones, Lord, I'm just asking you just begin a work in our hearts and continue it.
Yes,
and I know
Lord.
There's shooting going on and all that stuff, Lord. I know that. I believe I know behind and starting all that. I think I know that, but I'm not going to say anything. But I am going to say that we do need to get ourselves in the Word of God, and we need to stay close to you as much as what we can, and even closer than what we can, that's for sure, because I believe this is the last days, the last of the last days. Preacher brother of mine, he's home with the Lord now, but he used to preach and say that he felt like he was living in the final seconds.
didn't say the day. He just said final seconds. And I believe that's just about how close we are to the coming of the Lord Jesus. And so, Lord, just help us to be found faithful unto you. And we'll just, we need to be fruitful, that's for sure. And that's what we need is fruit. So just help us to be found fruitful. And just help us every day to understand that you're right there with us. You're going to meet every need that we've got. And there's no such thing as having a need that you won't meet, because you meet those needs. That's just part of your doings, and we're just glad for that. So, Lord, we just love you with all of our hearts, and thank you so much for these moments together. Be with us now, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And we'll catch everybody tomorrow night, 9 p.m., for AJ and the Squad. Tomorrow night here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. God bless everybody. Have a good night.
Love you all.
Amen. Love you all.
Good night. Thank you.